Welcome to the podcast. Here we explore ambition, well-being, and impact, and we dive deep under the surface level tactics so that you can build a freedom-focused business on your terms. Hi, I'm your host, Annalise Warne, an agency CEO, business strategist, and coach, as well as a wife and homeschooling, traveling mama of four little ones. Stay tuned for conversations with inspirational business leaders, as well as practical marketing and leadership strategies that you can action right away. So, let's get into it. Shana Kennedy, a master life coach and life planner with 20 years of experience, has coached elite athletes, CEOs, entrepreneurs, high-performing executives, and teams. Her expertise empowers clients to take control of their lives, achieve their visions, and reach their goals. She is also the author of global bestseller, The Life Plan, Simple Strategies for a Meaningful Life, and six other acclaimed Penguin Random House books. Shana's impact on countless lives is profound. And Colleen Callender, with an impressive 30-year retail career, served as CEO for two iconic Australian fashion brands, Sports Girl and Suzanne. Her wealth of knowledge and track record in building brands and establishing winning cultures has inspired and empowered people throughout her career. Colleen is also the author of Leader by Design, Be Empowered to Lead with Confidence in Business and in Life. Both in their 50s, Colleen and Shana are at the pinnacle of their careers, balancing family life and peak fitness while working with leaders at some of the nation's leading brands. They understand the significance of investing in a long-term life and action plan, which revolves around three key pillars of success: life, leadership, and longevity. They are a dynamic duo with decades of expertise, passion, commitment, and are transforming lives and leadership, elevating individuals and organizations to unprecedented levels of success. And our conversation today is around Shana and Colleen's new book, Elevate, which is an incredible practical guide to unlocking your extraordinary potential. So let's get to the conversation. Hello, Colleen and Shana. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having us, and it's great to be back.
I was so excited when I saw your name pop back up in my inbox. It was lovely speaking with you last time, and I can't wait to dive in now. So together, you are releasing a new book called Elevate.
Yes, we are. December the 5th it comes out, and it's a wonderful collaborative piece.
Amazing. So I'm really excited to dive into that today. So first, maybe Colleen, could you talk to me about the name Elevate? Why that word?
Yes. Well, our business is called Human Elevation, and that really came about from Shana and I pulling together our 40 years of experience and skills and successes and failures and all of those things, our whole journey. And as you know, Shana's, you know, one of Australia's leading life coaches and really is incredible in that whole health and well-being and life plan and values. And my background's fashion retail, and I was the CEO of two iconic brands for 13 years. So mine's really in that leadership and culture and brand and confidence. And so we've put those together. And we think it's a pretty powerful combination. And not only have we put the life skills and the leadership skills together, but we've added the longevity skills, which I think is what a lot of people are missing right now. So we've really put those under the umbrella of Human Elevation. And as you said, the word elevate is our book. And we really believe everyone can elevate in those three pillars, even just a little bit. You know, if we elevate a little bit in our leadership and our life and our self-care and our mindset every day, it's quite incredible how that manifests and how that grows and what can actually happen to us both personally and professionally.
Yeah, I really couldn't agree more. I mean, a lot of what I talk about is that balance and having, I mean, balance is not the right word, but that avoiding burnout by thinking about ourselves holistically in terms of career and family and our health as well. I have four children and I homeschool and I have a business. So those things get together. Well-being has been a really important thing that I talk about a lot on the show. So I'm glad we kind of are hitting that off from the outset. So what does, Shana, that balance or if you would even call it balance, between those three things, career, family, and health. How do you begin to speak to people about that when they realize that there is an imbalance somewhere?
There always is, you know, and that's career, family, and health comes under our life leadership longevity. It's just a different name. And we really need to make sure that each of those buckets is attended to constantly. And it's never going to all be perfectly in balance. And I think we just need to accept that concept of balance and having things all even actually isn't life. You know, that's just not life. I think what Colleen and I think is balance is really a mindset. You know, we can be working really, really hard and feel totally in balance. You know, we both have children. Colleen's got three. I've got two. We've both got two businesses each. We've both been married for over 20 years. And I think that we're both incredibly healthy. We're in our 50s. We've been through burnout much earlier, 20 years ago, and we just never want to get there again. So we've really had to think about what does balance mean. And it doesn't mean, oh, you know, we work for 10 hours, we have to have the same amount of time off. It's actually a feeling and a mindset of not letting overwhelm and anxiety in, and making sure you have some non-negotiables around your own self-care, around setting boundaries where you're filling the oxygen tank before you put the mask on. Just some basic fundamentals. And I think that people try to do too many fancy things rather than really sticking with the basics and actually mastering them.
That's so true, because it does come down to the basic things that we know we should do. But if we then look at maybe our calendar or maybe even our bank account, maybe those things aren't really reflected there. And I love what both of you have iterated in terms of it's the small shifts, because I think that's another mistake that people make, right? Do you find that people kind of try and go all in and then it all falls in a bit of a heap?
Oh, absolutely. So what we wanted to really think about in our book was asking everybody each time we approach a little skill. So it could be around mental health or physical health or emotional health, for example, or your leadership style or the brand of you, is what can you stop doing that's not working for you? And then ask yourself, what could I start doing that's fresh and new that I need to try? And also, what can I keep doing that's already working that I want to continue with? So the whole book and all the things that we talk about is creating a beautiful action plan for yourself, because what your answer is going to be different to Colleen's and mine. We're all individuals, but it's really that athlete overlay of saying we need to take some very simple action on the habits that we have, and we need to have them written. And when we do that, the brain has a map and it's very easy to go and execute.
Yeah, I did note that actually. I loved that start, stop, keep. And I had a note here to ask you about that. So I'm glad you brought it up, because I saw that's at the end of every little section.
Yeah, every chapter, 100%. Yeah, we need to come to action, because nothing changes if nothing changes. So we can read all the books in the world that we want, but if we don't make some very small tweaks to how we're operating, and those tweaks have to keep changing no matter what age or stage or season you're at in life. Mm-hmm. It's the small tweaks that happen as our kids age about, you know, how we need to show up, et cetera, that actually compound over time and change who we are. So it's really about focusing on small shifts for big impact.
Yes. I agree. And Colleen, how would you guide people through this process? Because this is taking a lot of self-awareness, right? This is really kind of stepping out. And if we have a coach or someone who can call us out on this, then amazing. But while we're reading the book, what does that process sort of look like?
Yes. And I love that you said self-awareness, because all roads start with self, right? And that's often where people go wrong. They look to other people or other places, but change actually starts internally. And so the thing about the book is we really encourage people to go through each chapter one after the other. There are six topics under each. And as you've just highlighted, at the end of each topic, it's really asking you to think about what action can you take to actually elevate in that area of your life. And that's really the key. And we've got space in the book where you can write, because there is something quite magical that happens when we write things down. When we just think about things, we then get caught up with life and you know, the day's gone and we're on to something else. But when we actually write down things, we're actually committing to self. And so it really is important that people work through that process of the book. The reason we wrote the book was because primarily what Shanna and I do is go into organizations and we talk on stage and we share human elevation that way. But we really believe that every single human on this planet needs to read the book Human Elevation, because every single person on this planet can elevate in their health, in their wealth, in their self-care, in their relationships, every single part of our life, right? So as we said, it's just small changes, big impact. So yeah, I would really encourage everyone to work through the book and really pull back those layers and be really honest with yourself when you're reading the book, because we can often just fly through and go, oh yeah, that's not me. But we want you to really pull back the layers and really dig right deep in here, right into that self, right in that gut, and ask ourselves the questions of how can I really elevate my life? How can I live this life of extraordinary fulfillment and happiness and self-care by really making ourselves the asset?
Yeah, definitely. And that makes me think of another self, the self-leadership. Obviously, you have that incredible leadership experience, which there's the two sides, right? In the corporate environment or in whatever environment we're in, we're having that external leadership. But it starts again with that self-leadership. So how do you speak to people about that?
It does again. That road leads back to self, right? So 70% of leadership is actually the way we lead ourselves. And again, that's where so many leaders go wrong, because they think it's about telling other people what to do and leading other people. But we need to set our own disciplines, boundaries, guidelines, rules, challenges, goals. We need to think about that for ourselves, because that elevates us as leaders. I always talk about Annalise being a leader that people choose to follow. And again, there's a very big difference. People choose to follow leaders because there's someone that they believe in, because they know when things go wrong, that person's going to be there to pick them up and dust them off and tell them to have another go and not throw them under the bus. And not just the leader, but for me as a former CEO, that was the environment I created every day. You know, that culture of safety, that culture of care, that culture of people first. And when you create that, that's where the real magic happens, because people are willing to put themselves out there. They're willing to share their ideas. They're willing to take risks that they never thought they could take. But that all starts with creating that environment for them to do that. But yes, all roads absolutely lead to self, and we need to be investing in ourselves as leaders to be able to lead other people, not just in business, but also in life.
Yeah, I think that discipline piece is something that a lot of people struggle with. So how do you talk about that, or how do you kind of give someone a little push into the, that with loving kindness into that more disciplined habits, I guess?
Yes, it's a great one. I talk about leading with kindness, where people find that a little bit random, right? Why do we lead with kindness? But for me, kindness has always been my superpower as a leader. And when you talk about discipline and pushing people beyond their comfort zone, that's what kindness actually is as a leader. So people think it's a weakness. You can't run organizations. You can't make hard decisions if you're a kind leader. I actually believe the opposite is true. I believe that kind leaders are the next generation of leaders, and they're the ones that are really going to thrive and shine. And that means that we hold people accountable. That means we push people outside of their comfort zone. That means that we set very clear expectations for people and let them know when they are and are not achieving those expectations, right? I say people want to know three things. They want to know what's expected of me, how am I going against those expectations, and what's next, right? That's kindness in leadership. So again, I think that comes back to self, but kindness would be the superpower for leaders and really how you can elevate an organization through the way you lead.
Yeah, I love that. I haven't ever heard it framed like that, that pushing people out of their comfort zone is kindness, but I completely agree. And also I do find what you touched on isn't very common in small businesses, at least, that showing your employees what good actually looks like. I think a lot of people are like, oh, good, I can get all of this stuff off my plate. And then they're off doing their CEO thing and they've just left everyone else kind of in their dust to pick up the pieces without any real clear direction. So thank you for reminding us all that. And those three are really great to highlight. So everyone, make sure you note those down. I'd like to talk about values, because I know that is all of this is going to come down to everyone's unique values. Shana, how do you help and guide people in discovering what they actually do value? Because I find that is something that people struggle with, actually.
I think everybody struggles because we've never been taught at school or, you know, in our whole life, really. Nobody ever teaches us about how to find your own set of values. Often in the workplace, they'll give you a set of values that represent the company, but it's really hard then to translate that into yourself. So when you work with a coach, it's all about discovering who you are, the self-awareness piece. And we always start with values, and values are, you know, what's deep in your belly, what's most important to you. They're the lighthouse for you. They're the gateway to your emotional intelligence. You know, they're how you make decisions for the rest of your life. So they're incredibly important, yet it's really hard for people to find out what to do. So we always say, ask with very powerful questions. Ask yourself the question of, you know, what is most important to you in the world today? And if you just sit there with a pen and pencil and say, what is most important to me? And you write your list of your top five things, and then you really look at them and emotionally connect to them, and then you can wind them back to the top three. That's really important. So, for example, you know, both Colleen and I have very similar values, which is, you know, health is first. And health doesn't mean, you know, do I feel great today? Health is mental health, physical health, emotional health, spiritual health, four buckets that we need to really top up. You know, that oxygen tank that we were talking about, is that has to be first so that we can show up as a mum, as a wife, as a friend, as a daughter, as a cousin, as a employee. So we really need to focus on that. And then we both have family very, very high up. And that doesn't mean, is everyone in the family happy? That actually means, how do we show up as that person? You know, how do we want to be? And the third one for us is achievement. We're both A-type overachieving perfectionists, which, you know, probably most of your listeners are too, but, you know, perfection gets in the way of progress. So sometimes, you know, it's about being a healthier version of that, and maybe learning to breathe well, maybe giving yourself permission to rest, or making sure that you start the day with the three M's, which is make your bed, move your body, mindfully breathe. That's a much bigger achievement than how much we get on the to-do list. So values are really important that we understand them, that we're connected with them, we know them, and then they're written. So, you know, my values have been here on a sticky note for 20 years. I don't need to even think about them because they're right in front of my eyes. They're on my mirror. So they're my KPI. They're your guiding light. When you have to make a decision, you know, does it add to your values or take away? But just asking yourself the simple question of, you know, what is the most important thing to me in the world, and starting to write your list, you'll really learn a lot about yourself. And then it really helps you make decisions and set boundaries.
Yeah. So they act almost like a filter when you talk about them like that.
Absolutely. They do. They, everything has to fit into to those words. And if it doesn't, that's probably why you're doing things that don't feel right, because it just doesn't even align with your own set of values. So when we set goals and habits, it's actually to support your values.
Okay. And then so the outcome of those things then is, I guess, everyone's unique definition of success.
Correct. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. So it all starts with self, isn't it? comparisonitis, you know, comparisonitis is the thief of all joy. So it's about keeping your eyes on your own plate. And when we wrote Elevate, that's why we wanted everybody to write about themselves, because we're all going to have different answers. There is no right and wrong answer. Mm-hmm. It is, what do you need to stop doing and start doing to to really come home to self and really own your journey and empower yourself.
Mm-hmm. And how do you talk to people around? Because I know if we're type A, we're perfectionist, then getting a little bit honest and vulnerable can kind of hurt and then getting in touch with that. So how do you talk to people around not leaving judgment out of that?
Yes, not flipping out. Yes, it's very confronting self-awareness, and is it is a difficult thing to do, but it's where the power work is. You know, you can tell people that have really done some work on themselves, who can look in the mirror, who are very honest with themselves, who really want to own their journey. They want to be in the driver's seat of life. They don't want to be in the passenger seat. And so we need to learn some new skills to drive, you know, and we need to really understand that we need to be honest with ourselves. And sometimes that's pretty confronting, you know, so we have to learn to sit with our emotions and what comes up, and really park our ego and park our judgment on the side and really look at that piece of paper and the words that you wrote. I think a lot of people, once they see things in writing, it really does help clarify for them, and they tend to catastrophize a lot less. When it's all stuck in our mind, we catastrophize, we dramatize, we bring in judgment, we bring in self-doubt, we've got the inner critic raising its voice. But when we actually see things written down, it's really nice and simple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great. Thank you for that. So, Colleen, how do you talk about burnout, and how do you help people? I'm guessing I'm going to say women, because most people listening are women. How do you help women avoid burnout when they're trying to add in all of these things and change their lives? How do you talk to people about that?
It's a very hot topic, right? Particularly coming out of COVID. Shanna and I have both had burnout, but we had it in 2007, so a long time ago now. But I think the first thing, Annalise, is we need to recognize the signs of burnout. You know, we need to recognize that brain fog, that constant fatigue, that lack of decision making, that constant exhaustion. So once we recognize that they're the signs and they're the signs that are affecting us, then we can start to make some changes in our lives to move away from that burnout phase. For me, as I said, it was 2007. I was general manager of Sports Girl. I had three young children under the age of 10. And I was this A-type, as Shanna said, we're both A-type overachieving junkies that just want to tick boxes. And I describe myself as the red Ferrari, but a red Ferrari that had never put petrol in the tank, never put air in the tires, never gone in for a service. I just wanted to go faster and faster and faster. And the faster I went, the better I felt, until I didn't, right? Until I hit that wall. And so for me, I actually, and a lot of women are in this place, right, where they hit burnout and they go, what do I do? And they think that they have to drop all the balls, you know, okay, I've got to give my job, I've got to change this, I've got to change that, I can't do it all, because we do think we can do it all. So I thought the same. I went in to resign from this fantastic job running this iconic brand because I thought I couldn't do it anymore. And lucky for me, I got talked out of that idea. And instead, I put the Ferrari in for an overdue service. I took 3.5 months off. I got myself a coach, which is where Shanna and I connected. And I started to live a life without burnout. But that took some work, right? We've got to put the work in if we want the results, just like anything in life. And so I had to, I would say the number one thing I had to do was set some clear boundaries. You know, when was work time and when was home time? How did I value my health, or how wasn't I valuing my health? How was I building my relationships, or were I just letting them go because I was this crazy workaholic? So really setting those boundaries of starting work, finishing, tapping in, tapping out, walking through the door, putting the key in the door and saying, that's it, I'm not a CEO anymore. I'm home. This is my time. This is family time. This is kid time. So really setting those boundaries. And once you start setting those boundaries, it's like actually pulling into the service station and putting the petrol in the tank, right? It starts getting, you fill up, right? And then you feel great. So the more boundaries you set, the better you feel. So then you want to start setting those boundaries, because you're not being depleted constantly. You're filling that tank back up. And we encourage, and we have a section in our book where we talk about burnout. There's one chapter on it. And we really encourage women to think about making themselves the asset. You are the most important person in this world, right? If you want to be a great mom, a great leader, a great boss, a great wife, a great friend, you actually have to put yourself first, right? You have to keep your tank nice and full, because the more we give to ourselves, the more we've got to give to other people. So yeah, recognize the signs, build some boundaries in, read our chapter on burnout, and make those, again, small changes in your life that can really have a big impact and get you off that burnout train.
Yeah, it can be hard when we love what we do, I think, because we could just keep going. And if it's you're running a company or you're running your own business, you're never done. There's always more to do. And if you love it, it is, yeah, you're right. It can really get out of balance there. And I heard a saying recently, someone said, it's not other people's job to uphold your boundaries. Because someone was getting very upset that people kept pushing against the boundaries and testing them, even though they'd made them clear. And that really resonated for me that actually, yes, we are the ones that have to keep holding up those boundaries and saying, no, I'm not working after this time, or I'm not available on the weekend, or whatever the case. Yeah, I think that's a really great place to start, especially if you're doing the work on values through the book, to then actually implement it with the boundaries.
Absolutely. And we say we as women have to set our own boundaries, right? Because if we don't set boundaries for ourselves, someone else will set them for us and we won't like them because they're not on our terms. So we need to set our own boundaries, and we need to be very clear about that communication of our boundaries. I won't be returning emails after X amount at night because that's when I turn off, or I will be arriving at the office at this time. That's when meetings can be scheduled in the diary, whatever it might be, business and life. But we have to set those boundaries and be very, very clear about what they are.
Yeah, thank you. So Shanna, how do we then actually make it real? How do we plan? How do we go from, okay, this is what's important to me? How do we make that tangible and concrete?
Yeah, it's great. So we always just start with what are your non-negotiables, I think, and keep it nice and simple and have them written down somewhere where you can see them. So remember that the brain needs a map. And if the brain, it's just like the tick list, you know, we have the to-do list. We need the I get to-do list as well. Like, I don't have to do the washing, I get to do the washing. I love that one.
I don't know if I can convince myself.
I don't have to unstack the dishwasher. I get to unstack the dishwasher, or I don't have to do that proposal, I get to do it. So a lot of it is mindset, but having visual around you is a really great way to implement the change, the boundaries, the values, the leadership style, the goals, the habits. We actually need to see things on the wall, on the mirror, on the sticky note, because the brain gets really excited when it can tick something off. So when we're trying to create change, it is really important to have it written down so we can tick it off. Like, it's a part of a business and it's the business of self. So when we're trying to build self and elevate self to a new level, we have to have that amazing athlete mindset of, okay, I need to change this habit. So I need to make sure I can see it and tick it so that it becomes a habit. Because we all know it takes 66 days to make change with a habit. So really having something around you, for me, it's just sticky notes everywhere. I've got words on the mirror, and then it's really easy because I can see it. If we write our goals or write down our values or the habits that we want to change or the boundaries that we want to set, as Colleen said, or really protecting the asset so that we don't burn out, we have to have those words around us. And when we do, it's actually nice and easy for the brain. So, you know, we can get up in the day, it could be raining, the hormones might be different, the kids might be arguing. Oh, you just have to look at your sticky note. You know, if you don't have the sticky note, you've forgotten all about it. So I really think it's about creating structures that really support humans in staying on track.
I love that so much. I think we might have spoken about that in our last interview, and I put like joyful and calm on my sticky note because they're around my kids, because I was losing it. And I was like, no, I'm joyful and calm. And it really does, like, you're like, oh, hang on.
I know. Mine's like, I feel terrific. So I just say it all the time. I feel terrific. And, you know, when the kids were arguing or whatever, I would say, I'm just light and joyful. I'm just going to breeze through this, you know, because we get really emotional. Yeah. We're tired. The tank is running low. And that's when I really started to, you know, as I said to you last time, create habits that help me. So lying down with my legs up the wall, you know, to start watching television and doing some stretching in front of the TV. It was just doing what are the small things that we can do for ourselves to put fuel in the tank, you know, and for a lot of us working at home and we have businesses at home, you know, making sure we shut the laptop and we shut the door and we're not allowed back into tomorrow, and giving yourself some really nice, simple non-negotiables. And then you really do feel supported and that resentment goes away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's such, again, it comes back to really small, simple, foundational things that I think we really undervalue the compound effect of that. And so
It's like sleeping with the phone in the bedroom. You know, do we let our children sleep with the phone next to them in the bedroom? Well, no, because we're so protective of their sleep. We want our kids to sleep perfectly and we want them to get proper rest. Yet we're not applying the same rules to ourselves is what we find with a lot of people. Colleen and I do not sleep with the phone next to the bed. You know, we've got an alarm clock. My phone's in the ensuite. It's not even near my head. So, you know, there's no scrolling in bed then. You know, we're finding that people are taking work into bed. They're taking the whole world, the breaking news and the Snapchat and the Twitter and the Instagram into bed. And that's exactly what we don't want to do to our children, yet we're doing that for ourselves. So I think it's about giving yourself some really simple rules that are just non-negotiable that protect you. And if women can just start there or your listeners can start there, it's a really simple thing to do. So hence our stop, start, keep. What do I want to stop doing and what do I want to start doing? And then instantly you're going to feel empowered and lighter and more energetic.
Yeah, and in control and confident.
That's right. Exactly right.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen unless we decide what we're going to stop doing and what we're going to start doing.
Mm-hmm. So, Colleen, as a leader, how do you speak to other leaders or emerging leaders about cultivating that confidence?
Mm-hmm. Well, again, I think as a leader, you need to be confident in yourself for other people to have confidence in you. And a lot of people think, you know, we often look at other women and think, wow, they must have been born with confidence. You know, they're just so confident in themselves. That's actually not true. None of us are born with confidence. And it's something we have to work on. It's like that muscle. You know, we can't just go to the gym once and think I'm done. I've got this sorted. You know, we've got to keep going back and working that muscle. So confidence is the same. And we need to be confident in ourselves. We need to be confident in each other as women so that we can challenge the status quo. So we can put ourselves out there so that we can do things we never thought we were capable of. But that really comes back to building that confidence muscle and really challenging that inner critic that we all have, right? I'm sure your listeners here now listening are going, oh yeah, I have that inner critic and I don't like her very much at all. You know, we can tell ourselves some of the most horrible things. You're not good enough. Someone's better than you. You're never going to get it done. You're too young. You're too old, whatever it might be. We self-sabotage. So we really need to break that cycle. We really need to know when that inner critic is up there talking to us, and we really need to question it. Because at least when we question that inner critic and we tell ourselves and really understand that that's actually not true, what we're telling ourselves, it's the story we're creating for ourselves. When we change our story, we actually change our life. So we really have to learn some of these skills of challenging our inner critic. The other big one is the willingness to try. You know, life would be really boring if it was just on a linear path and we never had any challenges or failures, or, you know, we wouldn't build resilience or confidence. So we need to put ourselves out there. We need to step outside of our comfort zone, because every single time we do that, we're building confidence. So as a leader, I need to push myself forward. I need my team to be able to see that I'm going to stretch myself. I'm going to push myself out of my comfort zone, do things I never thought I was going to do. And when I fall over, it's okay. It's not a failure. It's just a learning and a lesson in life. And when you create and cultivate that sort of thinking in an organization, that's where the really unbelievably magical stuff starts to happen.
Yeah, I'm so excited for this conversation, especially as I hear it more and more with the younger generations, with the, you know, emerging generations, because I didn't hear this stuff at noon in my 20s. And so having these kind of language, this language around, you know, questioning the stories in your head and being okay to fail and all of that, I think it's really exciting for us women now and for the women coming up, especially our children.
It's very empowering, right? It's very empowering to be able to do that, to be able to know that, you know, someone else is there, another woman's going to be there who's got your back. That's a big part of why Shanna and I collaborated. You know, we want to be able to go out there and show other women, and we collaborate with lots of women. We obviously have our business together, but we're collaborating here with you today. You know, we love collaborating because it shows other women that there is enough room in this world for everyone. And the more we collaborate together, the stronger we are, the bigger our message gets, the more momentum we get. And this actually becomes a movement rather than just women trying to, you know, do something in isolation. We are actually changing the world every day. We are breaking through glass ceilings that we never thought we could break through. And we need to be the change that we want to see. We need to show this next generation of women that we're collaborating. We're not competing against each other. We're collaborating. So this is a big, this is Shanna and I, our next decade together is collaborating together and with other women.
So exciting. The rising tide that lifts all boats, that old saying.
And Annalise, you know, as you said, you know, when Colleen and I were starting our careers, we didn't have anybody, you know, we didn't have these conversations. There was no internet. There was no positive psychology. There was no books on how to be a leader. There was nothing. And I think it's so exciting for us to be able to share now and really help the younger generation through, because we've got all of the resources now for them to have a more balanced approach than what we had, because we actually didn't even have the tools. Health and wellbeing wasn't even spoken about when we were, you know, working as hard as we could, rising up through the ranks. So we think it's a real privilege, and kudos to you for having a podcast, because you don't know the ripple effect that that has. Or, you know, I listen to them all the time. I'm learning new words and learning from other amazing people out there on how to bring new words and new thoughts into our worlds and keep us expanding as well. So, yeah, it's a pretty exciting time.
So exciting. And another thing I loved in your book was the chapter on celebration. Could you, I'll leave it with either of you who would like to talk about the celebration aspect.
Well, I think we both will, but I'm happy to start because Colleen's will add to it, no doubt. But we just feel, well, for me, coming from a sporting background and coaching athletes all the time, we know that celebration starts with raising up your arms above your head. And we know watching sport that they celebrate every small win, every tiny win, every small goal, every point that they kick. They all come together and celebrate and do their high five. And there is the high five movement out there as well, by Mel Robbins, an American lady, who talks about high-fiving yourself in the mirror. Because when we do that, we generate energy and momentum and motivation and inspiration. If we're not celebrating anything in the and giving the high fives, or, you know, celebrating with our friends or acknowledging all of the small wins, it's really hard to stay on track. And that's why a lot of people give up. They don't go for the goal as soon as it gets a bit hard. They stop celebrating, or they haven't celebrated enough of the small wins to keep them going past the hard part to get to the great goal. And I think when people do reach their goal, they tick it off rather than celebrate and then go to the next goal. And I think that's what gives us longevity, where we don't burn out, because we do celebrate all of the small wins before we start the next little project or the next thing on the list. And a shared celebration is fantastic. So whether you high five your best friend in the mirror, which is yourself, or, you know, your kids, you know, making celebration a part of your family ritual. People who have great cultures have high five in the hallway. It's about celebrating everybody around them and their small wins. And that elevates everybody to a new level of inspiration and motivation.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I'm always encouraging my clients to celebrate. And it's amazing to me how that it doesn't come naturally. It's like a forced habit that we have to build in. So what's your perspective, Colleen?
Well, I agree with everything Shanna said. And actually what you said there is really important, and something to note is that women find it much harder to celebrate than men, right? And so we need to, again, change that narrative around. And we need to, the more we celebrate, the more we want to celebrate. I mean, Shanna and I celebrate literally everything. We'll get on Zoom and go, "You're having an awesome hair day. Oh, let's celebrate that." Celebrate. I got to, you know, I washed my hair this morning. How exciting. You know, it actually gains momentum. You know, as a CEO, Monday morning, what's the first thing you do when you walk in with your team? You look at your sales results, right? That's what everyone looks at. The first thing I would say every Monday morning is, tell me, what have you got to celebrate? Every one of you around the room, what have you got to celebrate this morning? There is always something to celebrate. You know, this, I had a bestseller. We got a great customer feedback. You know, I got to work on time this morning. Whatever it might be, right? The whole room lifts. Then you can start your day in a really positive mindset, and that celebration continues. So I think it's so, so important. We don't find it hard at all, but we really encourage other women to start celebrating yourself and each other.
Yeah, and not hiding back from, what's the word, from celebrating ourselves with other women. Because I know early days in my business, we reached a financial milestone and I was like, who do I call about this that's not going to think I'm just boasting? And, you know, because that's our natural inclination often. It's going, how can I just celebrate and have someone celebrate with me that's not going to think I'm just, you know, doing it for all the wrong reasons.
Shooting your own horn. Oh my God, she loves herself a bit too much. Or can I tell you, you can never love yourself too much. You just keep loving yourself sick, right? Because you have to. You want to reach out. You want people to celebrate. We need to change that again, that narrative. And we need to pick the phone up and be really proud and go, I just want to share this amazing news. I've got something I'm celebrating and I want to share it with you. Like, how awesome. And we back away from that because we think people are going to judge us for doing that.
Totally. And I think the more we can have these conversations and talk about success and goals and money and all of the things that we want to achieve for that elevated life, and be proud of each other and encourage each other in that. So anything that you would like to say before we wrap up?
Oh, well, firstly, thank you. Like, we're really delighted to talk to you and to share this and talk to your audience and congratulate you. But we think that the word for the year for 2024 could be elevate. You know how everybody has a word of the year, and that could go up on their screensaver, could be on a sticky note, could be on the car dashboard, could be on the mirror, is really inviting yourself every single day to take a little action step. Like, oh, well, maybe I need to elevate, not go to the sale and buy more towels, or I need to elevate and, you know, maybe be present with my kids today. And it doesn't have to be a big thing, but all of these little tiny elevating steps actually make a big difference to your life and you feel completely different. So hopefully everybody can follow us, get themselves a copy of the book and just challenge themselves to, let's all take a step up.
Yeah, raise the standard.
Yeah.
So exciting. I'm going to do that. I am. Everyone, thank you for the push. Well, thank you very much, Colleen and Shanna, for joining me today. As always, I'm loving learning from both of you, and I cannot wait to read the book in full. So waiting for that. And that is all. Thank you very much. Everything will be in the show notes for our audience, so you'll see the links to everything there, to social media. Please follow along. And consider having Elevate as your word for 2024. Thank you, everyone, and I'll see you on the next one. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. Two things before you go. If you have loved this episode, please grab your phone to subscribe and review the show. And if you are ready to make a power move in your business, book a free strategy call with me, and you will walk away with a 3-step action plan and a new fire in your belly. Book your call at annalisewarn.com/consult. The link is in the show notes. Have a fabulous week.